Hello, Miner fans. Welcome once again, and thanks for listening to another edition of the Picks Up Podcast, exploring the sports, stories, issues, and personalities associated with UTEP Athletics. I'm John Teicher. Hope that all continues well with you and yours. Continued thanks to all of our healthcare professionals, first responders, and to all on the front line whose efforts are so significant and much appreciated. Heading into this 2020 college football season, the UTEP Miners knew there was much work to do and much improvement needed, particularly on defense, from a unit that gave up 36 points over 200 yards, both on the ground and through the air, managed only 12 quarterback sacks, created just 10 turnovers, and allowed their opponents to succeed better than 52% of the time on third down in 2019. Understandably, there were several new personnel additions made to that group during the offseason. Among those returning, though, was one that first arrived at UTEP in 2015. He appeared in two games, was injured, and missed the remainder of that season. It was, unfortunately, a scenario that would play itself out again over the course of the next couple of campaigns. Finally healthy, he took part in 10 games in each of the last 2 years and has cemented himself as a starter and leader of a vastly improved UTEP defensive unit. Number 47 in the orange and blue, senior linebacker Stephen Forrester joins us to discuss the road he's traveled to arrive at this point. And Stephen, thanks for agreeing to talk a little UTEP football and about your own journey.
Yes, sir. I'm excited. Thank you for having me.
You betcha. As I mentioned, this is now your sixth year at UTEP. Jason Van Hook also started here at that time. Are there any others from that freshman class still around?
I do not. I think that may be the only other person. I can't think of anybody else.
You've survived, haven't you?
I have.
Have there been some times along the way that it seemed that you've been here even longer than that?
Yeah, I don't know, actually. I mean, 6 years is a long time. I think that's about – feels about right. Feels like I've been here for a long time.
What do you recall as you think back about your arrival at UTEP and your first season here?
It's been a long journey, and I'm just as excited to be here now as I was then. It's taken a lot of perseverance and just kind of sticking through some tough seasons, but it's paying off right now. So I'm excited. I'm happy to be here.
It didn't exactly go the way you might have scripted it, though, did it?
Oh, not at all. No, sir.
You know, as we noted, you didn't have the opportunity to get on the field as much as you would have wanted your first 3 years at UTEP. How frustrating was that for you?
It was kind of an inner battle, I think, but it very, very frustrating. I knew that, you know, I had what I needed to have to be here, and my body, you know, one season after another, just there'd be one thing falling apart and just continue on to the next year. So it was an inner battle, it was a mental battle for me. You know, finally the opportunity showed itself here at the end of last season and this season so far.
Did you ever encounter any self-doubts along the way?
Absolutely. I had some coaches that told me I'd never play at this level again. You know, I fought through a lot of self stuff, and then there's coaches that told me to transfer. So it's been a long battle. I don't want to go too much into it, but it's been tough, and I'm here now. So
why did you stick it out, just curiously, when you could have gone somewhere else?
Maybe it's pride. I'm not really sure. You know, I wouldn't want to leave somewhere feeling like, you know, I had unfinished business. I felt like I had unfinished business. I came here, really 2015 was my first season playing, but I was in the class of 2014. And I've been here that whole time. I had a chip on my shoulder those first couple of years and the ACL injury. And when we switched coaching staffs, we went from Coach Scott Stoker as the defense coordinator to Mason. And I that transition was after I tore my ACL, and I didn't ever feel like I really showed what I was capable of. And honestly, it's probably a bad reason for staying. It was just pride, I think.
No, I think it says maybe a lot about you that you decided to finish something where you started it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I could not leave here. And I love El Paso too. There's been a lot of people that, especially Coach Kugler, the son that came in, helped me out along the way. And then Coach Dave, there's been a lot of guys, Coach Davis, Coach Scott Stoker, Coach Dimmel coming in, and Coach Shod with the weight staff. There's been a lot of guys that I felt like, you know, had my back and I wanted to play for. So I'm glad that it ended up the way that it has.
Is it fair to say that the arrival of Coach Dimmel and his staff a couple of years ago was like a new beginning, like a fresh start for you?
Yeah, it was like a light at the end of a very dark tunnel. It made me very happy to have those guys come in. They, one of the big things when Coach Dimmel came in that he told all of us that was that we are his guys, and so it gave me a little bit more meaning, a little bit more purpose, and I'm excited to play for them now, and I've wanted to play for them ever since they came in. So,
what did you learn from all of this, from all your travails, do you think?
Oh, man. there's a lot of lessons. I would say one would just be there's a ex-Navy SEAL that I've listened to named David Goggins, and he's got a book that he uses a term called taking souls, and that's just about being relentless in your life. And no matter what obstacle you face, you can take its soul, figuratively, you know, a figure of speech, and defeat it as long as you continually attack it. So I think that's something I've learned for myself here as well. I just continue to attack what I was doing, and I'm taking souls now. So as David Goggins would say.
I've always said that football has some good life lessons, doesn't it?
It does. Yes, sir.
Steven, you're from Dallas. What other options did you have out of high school, and why ultimately was UTEP your choice?
The school that I was looking at, leaning towards the most, was Air Force. And through my talks with them, my understanding of the commitment that I was making was an 11-year commitment. I'd have 2 years of prep school, 4 years of, you know, actually going to Air Force. And then 5 years of service, and I was just not really ready at 18 to be making an 11-year commitment. Turns out that I've been here at UTEP for 7 years, so it's not that big of a difference. But and then I talked with New Mexico Lobos, and I had one of my buddies there from high school was playing up there, but ultimately, I mean, I didn't have too many looks. Air Force, New Mexico, some Army, Navy. It was mainly military schools, and then lower D1AA, and then UTEP. And I committed to UTEP pretty early. I believe it was September when I made my verbal, and just didn't talk to anybody else. And I was really at the time, I was really high on Coach Kugler. I felt like his coaching style was similar to my high school coach, kind of hard-nosed, just solid guy. And so I loved what I saw, and I thought UTEP had great things to offer academically in their engineering program. And I liked the city as well. I love the mountains. So but not too many different schools, just UTEP and mainly military schools were my offers.
Pretty good choices, I would say. After all this time, you talk about how much you like El Paso. Does it feel like home?
I don't think anything will beat Dallas. There's something about, especially, you know, my grandparents and my parents. There's something about mama's cooking, home cooking, and just being around people that are that close to you. I think Dallas will always be kind of Mesquite, Garland area, will always be hard to take, but El Paso is definitely a close second.
You come from a pretty good football family. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, my dad actually sent me some stories and some sayings that he used to say. Man, I wish I had them pulled up in front of me here, but I always looked up to my granddad, always looked up to my uncle, and football felt like it was, you know, just a natural thing for me to do growing up. I started playing when I believe it was first grade, so I would have been probably 6 years old. So this is about my 18th year of playing football. So I haven't really known, you know, whole lot other than football. But my granddad played for the Browns, with Jim Brown, and, he had I believe it was called the World Championship whenever they played in the big game before it was called the Super Bowl. So he's got a ring, from that. And then, my uncle played for the Green Bay Packers under Vince Lombardi, and they didn't live too much longer after my childhood, so I didn't get a whole lot of interaction with them. My grandfather I got the most interaction with, but I always loved reading stories about them, and like I said, my dad sent me a whole email full of them. But maybe I'll just have to talk with you about that another time whenever I can get them pulled up.
Do you think that you might have inherited their mentality, particularly as it pertains to football?
Yeah, I think so. A lot of the times whenever Coach Stoker was here, he was always on me about using my elbows whenever I come in to hit, kind of not really extending my hands. And that's how they – described football back in the 50s and 40s was, you know, you're just kind of throwing your body in there. You're not thinking about how, but just throw your body in there in any means possible. So I think when it comes to the approach of hitting, and just, you know, it wasn't very technical back then. That was kind of the baby era for football. So I think I have kind of a little bit older mindset towards football for sure.
So you think you're a bit of a throwback?
I do. Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's not a bad thing. Your brother Joshua is a Miners teammate. How much fun is that?
It's awesome. We dreamed about this since we were little. So there's no better way this could have unfolded, I don't think. Maybe, you know, get us on the field at the same time. But being together in the same place for playing college football is just about as great as it can get.
You're currently working on your master's degree. When do you expect you'll finish that up? And what was the focus of your bachelor's?
I'll finish up this December. I actually just finished. I've had three classes this semester, and I just finished two of them. So I've got one more class until I get my master's. And then my undergraduate was – in finance with focus in analytics. And so I'm just getting my first exposure to the stock market. And I am it's kind of a bad time here with COVID and everything. I haven't capitalized fully, I don't think, on everything that I learned, but it's exciting and a lot more to learn for sure.
Well, that's pretty exciting to see your master's in focus. What's next, your PhD?
Maybe, who knows with this COVID extra season, I'm thinking I may go back to Dallas, but I'll have to sit down and talk with Coach Dimmel about what I do next and what my next steps are.
Now, I count five times for you on the Conference USA Commissioner's honor roll. So obviously, and again, because we've learned that the military academies were recruiting you. So obviously your studies were important, weren't they?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Steven, how much fun has this season been for you, being on the field for practically every snap, the great strides the defense has made, and winning, something the Miners haven't done much of recently?
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm really excited for the future of UTEP football. I look at Praise, Kelton, Keenan, the entire defensive line is just, you know, JT down there, Daylon, the second team, doesn't matter who we put in there. I'm really excited to see what they can do with the rest of the season. They've already done so much. Then the other linebackers, the secondary, especially coming in, making clutch, you know, plays. It's awesome to be a part of. And I just hope that we continued on to not just this year, but to this be what UTEP football is. We just a winning program.
Did you see this improvement coming?
Yeah, I think I would have expected it to come sooner, honestly, because I think it starts with the cultural change. And, you know, I don't think an entire cultural change can happen in 1 year. But I would have thought, if I were to look at compared seasons against each other, I would have thought last year we would have had a much better season than we did. But it's just the inevitable. It's kind of like I was talking about the David Goggins saying about taking souls. You keep doing the right thing consecutively and attack what you do, and there's really no obstacle that can stand in your way. So I did see it coming.
You know, I've heard you talk about better team chemistry. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's hard to put a finger on exactly, you know, what it is that brought about a stronger bond. With this leadership studies that I'm doing, there's different things I've read into. There's a book on Atiyah the Hun, and his different leadership strategies. And so one of them was traditions. One of them was labeling what it is that you are a part of, you know, kind of having, we are the Huns for UTEP. We are the Miners. It's what does that even mean? And so I think that chemistry kind of comes out of very small things like that. Having an organization that you're proud to be a part of. And that happens up at, you know, at the facilities, whenever there's families coming up and it's you know, it's a welcoming, friendly environment. It doesn't feel like, you know, things are going on that shouldn't be going on. It makes it a lot easier to play for coaches that are facilitating that type of environment. And then as players, I think taking ownership of the team, having something to take pride in to play for, then taking ownership and then creating tradition. So one thing we wanted to do this spring, but we weren't able to do because of COVID, was King of the Spring. And so it would just be one player it was amongst us, nothing to do with the coaches. But we would label one player as the King of the Spring and kind of do it up, get him a King's Scepter and a King's Crown, and have everybody pitch in some money, and they'd win like $100 or something, just whatever we pitched in for whoever had the best performance in the spring. So traditions are big, having something that you want to play for, and then actually buying in as a team. So I think those are three key things that happened that's different this year.
What about confidence? How much does that have to do with what we're seeing?
Yeah, I think that's huge too. And when we played Monroe, I think you could really tell the difference between our confidence and their confidence. And it's really easy in athletics to slip either way. It's a constant momentum shift, and you've got to make sure you don't get too high and make sure you don't get too low. But confidence is huge. Confidence, and that just comes from actual success from your work. You can put in all the work you want to, you know, in the off season. And really for us, for me, like I said, I've been playing since I was in first grade. So you can put in all the work for your whole life and then have something horrible happen, you know, an injury, and get down on yourself, have a bad mindset and not be able to push through that. But I think that we have guys that are going to make sure that we stay on top of, no matter what our record is, we're going to come out and play the way that we play, the way that we've prepared, and we're not going to get too high and we're not going to get too low.
For me, a lot of the improvement we've seen this year defensively has to do with the ability to contain the running game, pressure and sack the quarterback, and maybe as importantly as anything else, get off the field on third down. I think those have been big keys. Do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How would you evaluate your own play and how you've developed thus far this season with all the increased time you've gotten?
I am not too happy, honestly. I think I'm bringing up the stats, but the way I'm getting them, I know I can get there a lot better than I am. I may come in to take a tackle and my feet will be out of control. And I just, you know, being at this for so long, you know what your potential is, or I would have given up a long time ago. And so I'm getting the statistics that I think, you know, help my case, but I have a lot of room to improve. So I'm just going to keep on improving week to week.
Well, since you brought it up, what is your potential and what areas would you like to improve?
Well, right now, the biggest thing that I've noticed is I think I'm used to trying to make every play. And as a defense, as a team unit, you know, you play best whenever you just play your responsibility. So
just do your job.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So even in last week's game, there's a couple situations where, you know, they would run a stretch play to the outside, and we were showing up like we were going to blitz, and my responsibility in that situation really is I just have a gap and I'll scrape over the top to get to the ball. But I knew what was coming, and so I tried to get there too fast, and I scraped all the way over everybody. You know, I'm probably four linemen away from where the gap is supposed to be, and I scrape over all those guys. And when the running back hits the hole, I'm just out of alignment. My body is turned to the sideline, and the running back's hitting it up in the hole. So I kind of have to lean back and make a tackle over my back shoulder, where I think in that situation, I just stay square, play my technique, get there fast. You know, if I know the play's going to go somewhere, I can play the play, but just not be in such a rush to get there. And I think I could make a lot more meaningful plays that way.
I think regardless of what we do, I think human nature sometimes dictates that we all try and do too much at times. And certainly in football, if you've got 11 guys doing their job and not trying to do too much, more often than not, you're going to be successful, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And as it's happened this season, Kelton, Keenan, Praise, those guys have been doing more than enough. So it makes my job real easy. I just need to I have confidence in them, and now I just need to play like I have confidence in them.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about that in just a while. Isn't just knowing that you'll be out there all the time on every play, isn't that just huge for you?
It is. Yeah, I mean, I have enough confidence, though, in the guys that we have, that even if I were to take a breather, you know, I know that guys would get it done. But I'm prepared on every play to go, and I'm happy to be out there.
Your teammates voted you a captain prior to the season start. What meaning does that have for you?
I think it's just shows that people see what I've done for this long period of time. It's getting recognized that, you know, I'm not just doing these things for myself, that it has an impact on the people around me. And so that's pretty huge. It just makes you want to continue to do the right thing, continue to work hard, because it matters.
You know, it's funny how that changes kind of in the college game. When you first got here, I'm sure there were guys that you looked up to, and, you know, obviously there have been several that you were teammates with earlier on in your career, Aaron Jones, Will Hernandez, Roy Robertson Harris, who have gone on to have success in the pro game. And now it's you that's the respected one.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. I was actually just up at Rip Hut the other day and saw a poster from 2015. And it's kind of a sad thing to look back on all the guys that have kind of moved on, but I love every one of them. I'm so happy I was able to see those guys in action.
What would you, since you're a captain, what would you say your leadership style is?
I aim to be transformational, as a transformational leader, which would be just somebody that is authentic and genuine, to the point that it's not like, you know, you don't have to tell people to do what's right. They just see your actions. They see how you live your life. And that in turn gives people the desire to say, well, you know, he's doing the right thing. He's living his life this way. He plays this way. He works this way. So I want to start doing that. And so I would much rather prefer that. I wish you could ask one of the guys. I think they'd probably be more accurate on what my actual style is, but that's what I shoot for, as a transformational leader.
Well, I think a lot of times actions are more important than words, don't you?
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
You know, you touched on some of your teammates. I want to get into that a little bit more in depth, particularly at the linebacking spot. You're playing alongside some new talents this year. Tell us what your observations are. Let's start with Tyrese Knight.
Man, he is a phenomenal pass rusher. Very relaxed, comfortable. And when he gets out on the play, on the field, he delivers on those pass rushes especially. And I've noticed him just kind of being in the right spot for to break a pass or to make interceptions in practice. I think yesterday he had two interceptions, and he was in place to be in on a third one, but that's just constant. It's there all the time.
What about Gary Theard?
Gary is a hard worker. I think he's – both him and Jerome, I think, have what it takes to be a transformational leader, to be somebody to step up as this program goes on. They do what's right off the field. They're motivational. Gary is, you know, he's a guy that you want to be around. He's a guy that brings the positivity of the room up. He's getting used to the linebacker position. I believe he played safety at his prep school, but he'll come down and, you know, play his position very well.
And you mentioned Jerome Wilson Jr., who played in four games a year ago as a freshman. What steps has he taken this year?
I don't know if it's pretty natural or if he's just had great coaching, but he plays his position very naturally, natural movements. He's a pretty good pass defender, and so, like I said, he's a great leader as well.
You touched on the guys up front as well, and I want to talk about them individually, but describe for us how much simpler, again, and you touched on it, your job as a linebacker becomes when those big boys are getting the job done in front of you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the pass game, when I can rely on the guys, okay, I can, you know, you can cover for only so long, but the longer the play goes on, the harder and harder, there's bound to be one wide receiver break free. So when you can rely on those guys to get pressure back there, it eases your mind, and you can play your coverage a lot better. It's not so panicky and fidgety, and you got to be here to, you know, so pass defense is so much easier. Run defense, big thing on that is just playing your responsibility. And so whenever I've got a specific gap and one of the defensive linemen goes out of it, makes it hard, but I'm not getting that a whole lot this year. And then on top of that too, the offensive lineman getting up to linebackers,
sure,
make your job very difficult, but when they're having to double team those big bodies, Kelton and Keenan, I just flow freely. I wouldn't be able to make that play I was talking about earlier about scraping over four offensive linemen unless they were worried about Kelton and Keenan. So it's way easier than it has been in the past.
Keenan Stewart had 12 tackles at Louisiana Tech, including 8 solos. For a defensive lineman, that's absolutely amazing in a single game.
Yeah, and I heard you saying something about that, either tying the record or
– well, most by a UTEP defensive lineman in a game in more than 25 years. Can you believe that?
Wow. That is ridiculous.
You know, we're 5 games into the season. I think this is the best defensive line UTEP has had maybe in the last 20 years, maybe.
Mm-hmm. I think they look great.
What about specifically, you know, you talk about Keenan and Kelton, who are both brand new to the program, both junior college transfers, and it is so, so important to be stout in the interior of your defensive line, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is.
Let's talk about the progress Praise Amahuli has made, even since the start of the season. What do you see from him?
Yeah, I think he has a lot of potential. I don't think he started playing football until later on in his high school career. You know, so the more reps he gets and the more opportunity he gets, I think the sky's the ceiling for him. I don't think those 3 sacks are going to be the best game that he's had when all the playing that he has to play gets said and done.
Looking ahead, what do you think it's going to take for the Miners to be consistently competitive each week as the Conference USA schedule progresses?
Big thing is going to be staying healthy, and we've switched up our practicing protocol to facilitate that. We've got those covers we have on our helmets to avoid concussions in practice. You know, no tackling. So that's the biggest thing, I think, stay healthy. Then after that would probably be just a relentless pursuit to get better, not coming off of a loss, you know, super down on ourselves and approaching practice in a way that's, you know, just real negative and then coming off of wins, being able to stay consistent coming off of wins, not saying, you know, we've got 3 wins and now we're, you know, the best UTEP team that we've had in 3 years. Just stay positive and not get too positive. So stay consistent in whatever we do.
I think that's an important point. I think you need to leave last week alone, regardless of what happened, and just look ahead and treat each week as its own entity and go out there and try and win each and every week. And I know you agree with that.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
2020, you touched on this earlier, is basically a freebie for everyone. As I understand it, you could elect to play again in 2021. Is that a consideration for you?
I haven't put too much thought into it, but I had plenty of plans before all this COVID stuff hit, and all of them, you know, really got switched up and changed up. So I'm not gonna make any plans for the next season, but I think that's a possibility. I need to just kind of ask around and figure out what the actual rules are.
When football does end for you, whenever that is, what's next for Stephen Forrester?
Right now, I'm thinking about developing a dieting app, and so that's probably the immediate. I've got some family health issues going on right now, so I've been away from them for 7 years. I want to make sure that I can be there for my family. And beyond that, I've got a girl I'm real sweet on out here. So we'll see, hopefully sooner rather than later on that. But just kind of moving forward with my life and taking the punches as they come and find the next thing to take its soul, find the next thing to be relentless and approach life that way for the rest of my life.
Well, Stephen, certainly delighted for you at the opportunity that's finally come your way. And I enjoyed the visit. Thank you. Stay healthy, dialed in, and the best to you and your teammates the rest of the way.
Thank you very much. Right back at you.
All right. And thank you for listening to the Picks Up Podcast, a UTEP Athletics production. Stay well, Picks Up, and go Miners. Let's talk again next time on another Picks Up Podcast.